Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Verse number 2. Again, speaking about that high priest, not Jesus, but a high priest who can have compassion on the ignorant. The word ignorant literally means not to know. And as men of God, we ought to have compassion upon the people who don't understand, who don't know. Amen, preacher. I try to apply this to my life. Danny and Temple, all these other guys who are preachers, you know, Damien and all. When we deal with people, we have to understand they are not where we are spiritually. They don't understand truths like we. So that's what he says. Who has compassion on the ignorant? Don't mean they're stupid. It means they're uninformed. They don't know. And so the priest, when the people would come unto them and they do stupid things, they say stupid things, the priest would have compassion upon them because of their ignorance. And again, it's not the word they're stupid. It's that simply not to know. And then this next phrase, on them that are out of the way. That's an interesting word, out of the way. Again, the phrase out of the way literally means that they have strayed. They're no longer in the way, in that path of righteousness. They were there at one time, but now they are out of the way. I call it reversionism. They've not lost their salvation. Again, remember, Paul is talking to those believers who have not strayed. There's a lot of these Jewish believers, who went back to the temple, and they are out of the way. If you get the thought, okay, out of the way. And the high priest was still to have compassion upon them. Whoever it is, whether they're in the way, out of the way. That's the point is, even if they're not agreeing with you, okay. There's a lot of people who don't agree with me with a lot of things. I can't understand. I'm always right. But even if people disagree with me, I'm still to have compassion upon them. Those that are out of the way, those who may not understand it the way I am. I have something written in my Bible in the very front of it. God has the right to use those people who don't agree with me. Let that sink in. I wrote that down in front of my Bible. God has the right to use those people who don't agree with me. Just because you're not a landmark, independent, missionary, fundamental Baptist doesn't mean God cannot use you. If this was all we had, who said we're in trouble? We are in trouble, Dr. McAllister. If this is all God's got, we're in trouble. There's a lot. Remember the disciples came to Jesus? Jesus, do something about those people over there. They're not with us. You got to stop. Remember that? You got to stop them. They're not eating with us. They're not in our group. They're not our company. And Jesus said, will you hush? Leave them alone. You know, basically, if they're not against us, they're for us. Leave them alone, you know. That's the same thing I've learned as I'm getting old. You can laugh or not. Used to, when I was young, I was critical of everybody. You know, young guys, young preachers, man, Danny, we were critical of everything. Are y'all following? But as I got a little older, it's not a matter of compromising at all. It's a matter of compassion and understanding and loving. Never forget when Daddy, of course, so much, and I mentioned this just recently again, mentioned yesterday at the funeral. The older I get, the more I think about Dad and Mom and getting up. Does that mean you're getting old when you start remembering? Okay. I remember thinking about Daddy years ago when he said, as he was going out the door, an older lady, I'm thinking about somebody like Dolly. Dolly's a wonderful lady. She wrote me a letter this week. Dolly, thank you. And she don't mind me saying this. I'm glad when people write me letters. And Ronnie writes me letters, you know, and I appreciate that. They're listening. And she had a question about my sermon Sunday, which tells me she was probably the only one who listened Sunday morning. She wrote me a letter. But I picture somebody about like Dolly going out, and it wasn't Dolly, just an older lady, Daddy said, and said, Pastor Lanier, you've become mellow, and you're quite mellow in your old age. Well, Daddy went home, said he went, looked up the word mellow. He said the word mellow means overripe, nearly rotten. So I may be mellowing in my age, but there's a difference. We're so good at criticizing other people and all. Well, the priest understood that they have compassion. And again, I'm not talking about compromising on them that are out of the way. For that he himself, again, this is not speaking about Jesus. He himself is also compassionate with infirmity. The old saying, boy, you think you got problems. I got problems too. Among the high priest has his own problems. So because he has problems, family issues, and even the Old Testament, you know, the priests that have issues with their own families and all. We go on and on. So these high priests, that they understood and they had compassion upon the people. And again, that should fit with us as pastors and preachers and missionaries, to have compassion on people out there. Okay, let me move on. Verse number 3. I have so much here. Oh, let me give you this one. I have verses, but the high priest had this compassion because he understood that he himself is also subject to weakness. The breastplate that he wore of the high priest had 12 stones with the names of the tribes of Israel and shoulder straps. They had stones engraved with the names of the tribes. Why was that? Why did he have that? Well, in this, the people of Israel were always on the heart of the priest and always on his shoulders. In other words, his responsibility. He always bore the responsibility, and he always knew that. The responsibility of the children of Israel, and they were always upon his heart. That should be us as pastors and missionaries, deacons, even lay members want to love one another. Let me move on. Verse number 3, and by reason as for the people, so also for himself to offer sins. Remember, this is not talking about Jesus. Jesus never had to offer sins for himself, but the high priest did. Before he could offer sins for the people, he had to offer sins for himself. Remember on the Day of Atonement, and I got to move quickly. The Day of Atonement, one day a year when the high priest would go in before he could offer sins for the people of Israel, he had to offer sins for himself. That's what this verse is saying. And then the verse number 4. And no man taketh this honor unto him, but that is he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Again, it reflects back in verse number 1. You can't do this. Well, I think I'll be a preacher. I think I'll be a priest. No, you got to be called of God. God lays his honor upon you. Verse number 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but that he, God, said unto him, Jesus, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. Man, Christ was called of God. He did not honor himself. Let me give you this verse, and I'll finish up real quick. In John chapter number 8, Greg, you throw this up there real quick. John chapter number 8, verse number 54. Remember we're talking about honoring yourself. Jesus never honored himself. Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. That speaks to us too, by the way. If you got to honor yourself, you ain't worth a hill of beans, you know. Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom we say, whom that ye say that he is your God. So again, we see here in Hebrews that it said, verse number 5, that Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he, God, said unto him, Jesus, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. Real quick, and I got to move on. I have notes here, and I'm about out of time. The thought begotten is not when he was born. That today, this is the day, my son, that I've begotten thee. He's not talking about begotten in the flesh. When he was born of Mary in old little town of Bethlehem, that thing. No, begotten thee when he was resurrected from the dead. That's when my son. This, that today have I begotten thee. There's so many notes here, and I'm about out of time. But he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, my son. We see that quote in Psalm 2:7, the exact quote in Psalm 2:7. Again, it's referring to the resurrection of Jesus. Because of that, he can be the high priest now. He made the sins, the offerings, and this day, my son. You know what the word begotten means? We just heard this the other day. Who talked about begotten? Somewhere somebody talked about that here the other day. Ed Brown, what does begotten mean? What does begotten mean, you Bible scholars? The unique one, the only kind. They're one of the only kind. I mean, the uniquely born one. Well, there's nobody rose from the dead like Jesus. Nobody.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.